I was denied that moment of glory. Well, I was the starting quarterback, and I, if you don't mind me saying, set a couple of records that to this day are still on the books, but there was a distraction in the locker room. I was envious as I watched yesterday, and all eyes were on Doug Williams. He could tell about the glories, his disappointments, and his joys. And the cameras would swing to somebody else that made a wonderful contribution to the game. I never had that. You see, in the locker room, when we'd come off a big win, I remember one time I set a school record, 15 touchdown passes in one game. It's unbelievable. And nobody would talk to me because John Holmes was on the team, and as you know, he was my roommate in college, and after the game, the locker room would flood with reporters standing around as we took off our pads and clothing, and they'd all be standing around John. And there I'd be. Hey, guys, don't you want to hear about the 15 TD passes? A couple of end-around sweeps. I won from the wishbone eye at first, but then I got the... But nobody's paying any attention. They're all gathered around, cameras clicking, as John Holmes took off his uniform and went wagging his way to the shower. I said, this is ridiculous. I can't believe you're talking to this guy. The team doesn't even wash his uniform, for crying out loud. He's never been out there. It's brand new. He never played. He's third string. Not crying out loud. They follow him all to the shower. Gee, John, what do you think of it? What are your plans for the future? There I be, my 15 TD passes. Hey, don't you want to hear what college I'm going to? No, I'm going to transfer. It's going to be big news. Nino Griesmanelli, starting quarterback, IC, is transferring. Rumor has it, sir. They're saying, shut up. Let me ask you. So, John, tell me. Does that thing get in the way? I mean, when you're playing croquette or something, can you do the funky chicken, Mr. Holmes? I said, but me, Villanova. All right, I'll tell you, Villanova. But I would be alone in front of my locker room with nothing but my stats. And it was right after the game that I got the 15 TD passes. The coach called me in his office and said, this isn't easy to do, Griesmanelli, but I'm cutting you from the team. We don't really have room for another quarterback, and frankly, I said, wait, well, who's the QB now? He said, well, John Holmes is going to be our starting QB. I said, that's ridiculous. He can't play football at all, let alone quarterback. The coach said, look, the Alumni Association told me they want tickets sold. They want sellouts. Nobody cares about your lousy 15 TD passes. What they want is the stadium full. And when word gets out that our quarterback is Mr. 14, we're even giving him that number, 14, right on his back, that stadium is going to be just jam-packed with fans. We may lose the game, but we'll win the war. That war is ticket sales, Alumni Association money, dollars, our jobs. I'm sorry, Griesmanelli, you're a good kid. But you're off the team. I mean, my eyes missed it up. I just left his office. I didn't say anything. I just turned. I ran. I passed through the locker room on the way out. John was still in there. I said, let me tell you something, Mr. Holmes. I heard about it. I heard you're the new starting quarterback now, and don't expect my congratulations. I know the reason you got the job. I know the reason you're inept for the job. I know you too well. And to think that you would take advantage of it, that's the thing. I can see where people get a little all excited about you being Mr. 14 and all. But to think that you would take advantage of it, to think that you would have the low-class moral lifestyle to take something based on something so trite and so transparent, to think that you would actually use it to your advantage. I've given my whole life to football, and I'm cut from the team, and you who can't even play... I'm the starting quarterback job. A man with that kind of cold-bloodedness ought to be hung. And the rest of the team shouted in unison, but he is!
The Grease rocks on WWDC-FM Washington. DC 101.
Mike McGoyam. Irving, Izzy, Mikey, Sam. We are the guys that eat no ham. To life, L'chaim. L'chaim, L'chaim, to life. Singing hanene, ranena, hanene, ranena. Oi, 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 oi. A macher is somebody that makes things happen. A wheeler dealer.
Well, I'm a wheeling and a dealing guy.
Yeah, because...
But I don't know what to wheel and deal.
Well, that's just it. That's why you need to be... A macher would know what to wheel and deal. A macher is somebody that knows these things, like an operator. You know, somebody with connections?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So what you... Somebody who is active, like, in an organization?
Well, I just signed a contract on Friday, so I haven't moved there yet. I got to move up to New York, manage them, so they'll come down here.
Well, what you need to do is maybe look up in the Yellow Pages... You know, management teams. When you call them up, you ask them, how can I become, what's the word? Huh?
A production manager.
A macher, you stupid guy! Only a guy would hire a manager like this. A manager, what is your first name?
No, I'm not going to say now. My nickname is DK.
DK?
DK.
Yeah, well, you see, you should have a name like Bernie. Managers are always named Bernie, you know?
The band's called Zwig and the Bombs.
What's the band called?
Zwig and the Bombs.
Zwig and the... We'll never hear from them with you as the manager, that's for sure.
Kidding? Like, this band makes Eddie Van Halen look like a joke.
You're not a macher. Jeez, for crying. They asked me why I drink. It's unbelievable. Man! Look at him! A huge package, evident in his skin-tight leotards. His ever-present young chicken assistant by his side, throbbing. Fudgeman's got his arm protectively around his waist as he squeezes him reassuringly. Look out, it's time for Fudgeman! 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 Who are we after today, Fudgeman?
Well, Throbbin, it's not who are we after. It's who's after us.
What do you mean, Fudgeman?
Well, Throbbin, the Sleazebag sisters are in town. And they've been going around doing the zesty gob of the gee.
Well, what's wrong with that, Fudge Man?
They've been saving the poop. And they aim to slime us with it. Rumor has it they have a bucket. That's why I'm driving so fast. On one of the rooftops, the three sleazebag sisters are waiting. And when we get out of the fudgemobile, they will inundate us.
Holy hydraulics, Fudgeman. I think that would gross me out. I don't think I can handle it.
What about me? Think of my cape. I always tell them no starch. I get hit with a bucket of that. We might just be frozen in our tracks.
Well, jumping gerbils, Fudgeman, who are these girls?
Well, there's Rhoda Grinnin' Barrett. There's Mary Tart. And Zaza Gahor.
Cuddling gooters, Fudgeman, I'm scared. I've never been attacked by women before.
No, you don't understand, Throbbin. We will not be attacked by the women. It's just that they're going to hit us with a bucket of something very unsavory. Very unsavory.
Well, what are we going to do, Fudgeman?
We'll try to keep umbrellas at the ready, I guess. Or maybe we'll just try to draw them out. What we'll do is you and I'll walk down the street, hand in hand, apparently unaware of their plan. When they lean over the rooftop, revealing their position, at the last second we'll jump aside.
Okay. I'm kind of scared. I hope they miss.
No Don't worry, they're guaranteed to miss. All right, let's stop at this street corner here. We'll get out of the light, and we'll just walk casually down the street. They're bound to see us and make their move.
Okay, Fudge Man. If you say so, but I'm still scared.
All right, I'll lead off.
Wait a minute, Fudge Man! I have my cape caught in the door of the Fudge Mobile. Throw me your keys!
Keys? Throbbing, there's not time for keys. Wait a minute, there they are. They're leading over the roof.
No, Fudge Man, I'm trapped!
Throbbing been slimed with a bucket up as collected by the Sleazebag Sisters? Did Fudge Man do the brave thing and stand there trying to cut away Throbbing's cape from the door of the Fudgemobile and in so doing allow himself to be speckled in the same manner? I mean, have our superstars at last got starch in their uniforms? It's Fudge Man! 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 Fudge Man!
Fudge Man!
Get ready for awesome power!
Be the Buddha now, Bob. It may be time just to unleash a torrent of unbelievable brutality. Brace yourself, and of course, as always, DC-101 disavows any responsibility for damage to your woofers and tweeters due to the intense nature of the following shriek I am.
The intense nature of the gut-wrenching, unbelievably unrestrained action.
Here at the home of 16 in a row. We look forward to the DC 101 CD Sideshow, an exclusive interview with Pink Floyd on compact disc.
Feeling plug out now. Time to wonder what it must be like. Let's strap on a gun and pin on a badge and become a llama. Squad car talking to Gaggin' Annie after she's just finished a zesty session to help you through the shift when you notice a couple of guys sitting there at a traffic light. They're looking at you and they instantly avert their eyes when you look at them, and that's suspicious behavior because people normally look at lawmen, but when they turn their heads away rapidly right away, you know they must be up to some no good. Into your squad car and fire that bad boy. And when they see you get into that police car, they lose it. They just drop on the accelerator and take off. So you pull in right behind them. Yeah! You got that flippin' open up wide. Yeah! Well, the speedometer passes 60, 70 miles an hour. They're still going there. And you are hot in pursuit. Sudden, you see one of them lean out the hatchback and empty out a suitcase in the road. The whole suitcase is just billowing white powder. It hits the windshield of your car. You just hit the windshield wipers and clean yourself a little path as the chase continues. Thing you know, a big old bale or something comes out of the back seat and hits the road and breaks into 10 trillion pieces and goes whipping along the side of the road and you just ride on his bumper the whole time. Next thing you know, this big old like a shaving kit flies out and hits the roadway and a bunch of red and blue pills start flying in all directions as you close in tighter and tighter. You can almost smell them. You can see the desperation on their face. Finally, they pull over. One of them jumps out of the car and says, "You got no proof! You got no proof! You can't take us in there!" You look at him and smile and say, "Proof, schmoof, what are you talking proof? Only reason I'm behind you, boys, to let you know you got a tail light that's burned out."
Oh, no!
Nice day. Yeah, bye-bye. Hobble-doo,
changing the way.
Catch Tell me what the hop of the cock got head, bug, buddy.
Do 1009. Get to smell in a hotel.
Yeah, a lot of guys blast off for warmer climes this time of year. You may go on vacation by yourself or with a buddy. You sleep late, you have a big lunch, you do some body surfing. Nighttime falls. Where do you find a slouch? Where do you find a slouch? What do? You put on your white pants and you go to the bar. Well, there's 1,000 other guys in white pants and bars looking for slices. Plus, not only that, you got all the locals looking for slices. The competition's pretty thick. I said, don't even go to the bar at all. Go to the pool. Go to the pool. Bathing suit on. Because that's where you'll find an eager slice. You see, the girls at the bar, they're sitting there trying to see the best one that comes in, you know? Maybe somebody arriving by yacht. Maybe some wheeler dealer or showbiz type. So you got some stiff competition there, but you go by the pool and look for that family group. That sweet thang who's old enough to be legal, but yet really not old enough to be traveling on her own. So she's with mom and pop on vacation and hating life. She left all her boyfriends and her little girlfriends back home, and she's on a week and a half vacation, which would be great if she had her fella, but she doesn't have her fella, and she's with mom and pop, and her little brother's getting on her nerves, and they're all staying in the same room, and she's fit to be tired. Well, the little brother's playing on the sliding palm. Mom and Pop are with their books. You wait for her to walk up and go to the soda machine to grab her a cold one. That's when you say, boy, vacations with your folks are a drag, aren't they? I'm here with mine, and it's driving me nuts!
Oh, really? You're here with your parents?
Yeah, you know. I mean, after all, I'm going to college and everything. But, you know, they're afraid to let me stay back at the place, and that kind of lack of trust really gets on my nerves, you know? Really does. You want to go for a walk?
She'd do anything for human companionship. She'd been sitting there talking to Bob and Pop. Like a little brother, and there you come, reasonably bold, semi-happening.
Sure, I'll go for a walk.
You take that thing for a walk.
And you talk about it. You know, that you'll, like, because you know her parents probably did the same thing to her. You say, what really bugs me about my folks is they don't trust me. You know, that's the thing. What am I going to do? Set the house on fire? My God, I'm a sophomore already at Blauman State.
Oh, really? You go to Blauman State?
Yeah, I go to Blauman State. Pre-med. And she'll tell you about herself. Our parents are always on her back, and they make her come home at 10:30 at night and 10:45.
Say, tell you what, what's your...
Like, I got a bottle of... You want to have a little... What are you drinking there? You want to put a little oomph in that soda there? Come on, I got a little bottle up in the room.
Now, you don't go back to your room. That'd be a bad move. You know, Pop's liable to come kicking down the door throughout the vacation. Or worse yet, she's liable to ring the doorbell at the wrong time.
No, you just walk through the hotel until you see a maid outside of one of the rooms. And you just walk into the open door where the maid is making the bed. You say, that's okay.
Give the maid $10. Say, that's okay. You don't really have to finish making the bed. The maid will think it's your room. She'll leave.
Now, the people whose room it is probably ain't going to be back for several hours. Heat of the day, sun out. So you have yourself a very leisurely session of sweet bliss. Ah, it's great. You're not even messing up your own room. Ah. Oh. And if you do get walked in on by the people whose room it is, they'll never think it. They'll think they made the mistake, you know? They'll walk in and go, my God, we must be in the wrong room. Look at that, Ethel. Holy jeez. By the time they figure out you're in the wrong room, you're out of there. And so you have a very nice session. It's great. It's bliss. And then, of course, you know, you make plans later. Yeah, sure. Tomorrow morning, poolside? Great. Tomorrow morning, poolside. There she is looking for you. But you're about 30,000 feet above her, headed back to New Jersey.
Nicky Maui.
Changing the way Washington talks, it's the Grease Man.
Oh, Neller.
On DC 101.
So are you.
I said, okay, Squeaky, we'll see you in another year. It's 5 before 10, the Grease on DC 101.
man. What's the matter with you?
I'll get it the next time. I mean,
Jolly! Beat the beast, you beast! The only thing hard is the smell of my feet.
Don't listen up, cause you might get dissed.
Don't say no, lizard or take a
chair.
Damn.
Come on, man, y'all.
What's the beat?
I'm on your dick, I'm in your face, I'll get you in the bottom back and fight. Step up, suck your husband's neck. Don't you know that?
I'm the man! I'm so bad, I should be detention. I'm the man!
Shut up!
We got villains!
Sleeping
late. They drink the drinks, they drag.
Put my money in the bag.
They cut their crack, they offer drugs. We don't do drugs, you get off.
Meaning,
point out the beat.
I'm on your case, I'm in your face. Kick you in your butt, a pack and play. Step up, sucker, understand. Don't you know that?
I'm the man. I'm bad. I'm so bad, I should be the dungeon. I'm the man.
Metal band raps a different way.
Well, we like to be different, not cliche.
Well, they say rap and metal can never mix, but all of they can suck off.
Sexual organ located in the lower abdominal area.
No, man, it's dick. Yo, watch the beat.
Yeah!
I'm on your case, I'm in your face, I'm giving you a ball of back and fight. Step up, sucker, understand? Don't you know that?
I'm the man! I'm bad! I'm so bad, I should be detention! I'm the man!
Shut up!
To life, L'chaim, 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 to life. Singing, hanene, ranene, hanene, ranene, hanene, hanene, daven with me. L'chaim, 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 to life. Hoi. All right, if you're the proper... All right, that's it. He's trying to daven. That's good. Mr. Rickenbacker is going to be our enlightened goy of the hour. And if he wins an unlimited supply of dippity-doo for his payers. Not only that, a 10-gallon yarmulke in case he wants to visit the goys in Montana and Wyoming. Yes, Mr. Rickenbacker, this is your moment. Your word is nebbish. Can you say that?
Nebbish.
Nebbish, that's a real schlump of a guy. You never want to be called a nebbish. That's someone the definition of a nebbish is when he walks into a room, it's like two people have left. I mean, it's a man with no charisma, no personality, no nothing. You might use it along the line of, if your sister comes in with, say, John Holmes, and you didn't know that John Holmes was packing 14, you might say, you know, when he looks so lackluster, nothing to offer the conversation, you say, who's this nebbish that my sister's out with? Nebbish, all right?
Yeah.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
It's someone that doesn't seem to have that oomph, that pizzazz. Like that guy running for president. What's his name? Paul Simon? Let's face it, he's probably a good politician, but he's got that bow tie on, that silly look on his face. You might see him at a press conference and mutter to the photographer standing next to you. What would you say? Who's this?
Nebbish.
Mr. Rickenbacker, you're an enlightened guy. Get well soon, Mr. Rickenbacker.
Thank you very much.
See you later. 101, hello. Good morning.
Yeah.
Enlightening the goyim far and wide. This is the Mega Mother. Yes, go ahead.
You're still speaking to Jay Rickenbacker?
No, Rickenbacker's history. What can I do for you, sir?
This is Jay Rickenbacker.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Jay. You're still here?
Yeah.
You nebbish. Hang up.
Okay.
See you later. I'm only kidding. You're a good guy.
My regular golf buddies. They were all professional people, so consequently, we had a bit of money on the line. I played golf with these guys. One of them was a doctor. One of them was a financial consultant. I mean, we're talking these guys were into the big green stuff. I was the ball stuck. One time we're playing this course. They were on this hole that no one had ever in the history of the course gotten a hole in one. Because basically it was out of range. I mean, King Kong maybe could hit a ball far enough to drop in there with one shot. So far, there was no human being. The Amazing Hulk, maybe. So I was doing pretty good. I looked like I was going to be in the money as it was. When I hit this long drive, I mean a long drive. I mean, it went up there, and I'm thinking, damn, look at it go. Well, it started to come down. Just then, a cow walked out onto the green. And the ball lodged in the cow's bomb bays. I mean, it was like a one in the middle. You can almost hear the from where we were standing. Everybody laughed, said, looks like you're gonna have to take a two-stroke loss on that bad. I said, wait a minute. Look! We all went running up to the cow. We checked, we could see the ball was about to fall out. The Bombays were losing their grip. I said, hey, wait a minute, no two-stroke loss here. The cow's walking toward the hole, the ball's gonna fall out. Let's check the rule book on this. Let's face it, if a ball hits a tree, right, bounces off the tree and goes in the cup, it's considered a hole-in-one. Just because it hit the tree first doesn't make it any less a hole-in-one, right? Same difference here. The cow is an obstruction by nature. So wait a second here. That ball drops out. That counts. And sure enough, the guys just started looking, thumbing wildly through the rule book, of course, but there's nothing there saying about, hey, what happens if your golf ball gets caught in a cow's bomb base? The cow walks over to the hole and drops into the cup. I mean, I never prayed so much in all my life for an animal to break wind. I just said, I'd be happy if it just dropped on the fairway, but he started walking toward the green. I couldn't believe it. I said, come on. You can break a little wind for me now. And I can see the mob maybe losing the grip on that ball. It's starting to come clean. And the guys are thinking, they're trying to find a way. And I say, come on, Brittany. I'm even tickling the cow under its chin. I said, come on. You know, hoping I can get the Bombays to pucker a little bit, maybe drop right off. I mean, we're standing right over the cup. I'm thinking, this is it. Hole in one for the first and probably the last time. When just then, you can imagine my shock and horror. A bull broke out onto the green there. Started slamming that cow. Oh, did it!
Oh, no!
Oh, man. Well, needless to say, my ball was about 4 feet deep. I gave up and took the two-stroke loss. You'd need a whole excavation crew to find that ball. The Lord giveth. From the Lord taketh away. It's 9:03 with the grease hanging my head in wonderment over the bizarre things that have happened so many times in my life. All right, let's pick up the blower. 1-on-1, hello.
Good morning, Grease Man.
How are you?
A friend of mine went to Israel for a vacation.
Yeah?
And he went to see the Wailing Wall, and he said he saw the Grease Man there.
Wailing away, huh?
Yeah, well, I said, how'd you know it was the Grease Man? He said, well, he's doing a 6-minute workout in front of the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Anyway.
Brutal. No respect. All right, thanks, buddy.
Something I just have a request.
What do you need?
I haven't heard you go famous moments in history if only you had your Uzi in a long time.
You're right. I haven't done that in a long time. But I'm running out of places to go with my Uzi.
Oh, boy.
You see, I went back to the Alamo, the crucifixion, the Titanic. Famous moments in history. Custer's lack. Stan, how could you have changed that moment had you been there with an Uzi submachine gun? And I'm trying to think what moments in history could I have been. Waterloo, perhaps.
Birth of Christ. But there's nothing violent you could do there.
Nothing there that warranted an Uzi, to be sure.
Yeah.
Trying to think of something going on where an Uzi might have either been a help to those involved.
You know, when our forefathers drafted the Constitution, a lot of them wanted to have their way, and been a little more persuasive.
Yeah, that's true. We could have gotten that mandatory smoking clause in there if we'd had an oozer, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, you see, that's food for thought on the 9 o'clock hour. As you know, I use the crescendo effect for my show, so perhaps we shall work up to that. What do you say?
Okay.
Can you linger longer?
Oh, sure.
All right, good.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate the call. It's about a minute before nine. The commander here, and we're loving life. The storm, by the way, in case you wondered what happened to the 4 feet of snow we're supposed to get. It's not out there. Well, the storm blew out to sea, according to the Weather Bureau. They say that thing will not pose a threat to our area. Maybe an inch of snow.
That pothole number, we might feed outfit.
Ah, yes. Turn loose. Let me go. I'm about to feel good.
Say it. Daddy, don't wait.
Turn me loose. Let me go. I'm about to feel good.
Watch me work.
Me not neglect the mule. We've been rocking, we've been shrieking. It's a two for Tuesday, if you don't mind. I mean, if you'll beg mind, does not mind. Do we dare head
to the back of the road?
He was going to give her that waffle iron. Huh?
Probably.
He's going to give her a waffle iron and some arpeggio by Lorvan. Meanwhile, the other guy gives her a rabbit coat and probably a bottle of that $150 Liz Taylor special, you know?
Something like that.
And so, as he went squealing out of the driveway, tears welling in his eye, gripping the steering wheel furiously, trying to rip it from its mount, he drove home on Christmas Eve and shut the door and grabbed a bottle. The Christmas tree that he'd left twinkling seemed to mock him as he sat there staring at it, lights flashing on and off as if to say, "You're alone. You're alone. You're alone." He took a long, grateful pull out of the bottle and sat there and thought, "All this while, I thought it was I whose lips he kissed. It was I who received that snarlum marlum. It was I who would leave her awash. I should have been suspicious that first day when she walked over and I watched her as she walked into the kitchen. Knowing full well the telltale seepage. I guess not wanting to believe it, he put it from his mind. But then suddenly everything crystallized. Those phone calls. Sorry, honey, I know I was going to come over tonight, but it's kind of late and I think I'll just turn in early. So I'm unplugging the phone, so don't try to call me. Watch out for that. That's a telltale. I'm unplugging the phone. I'll be out of reach. Okay, anything you need? Good. There she was. Snarling away. He looks at his carefully wrapped waffle iron, his bottle of arpeggio by Lorvin. He shakes his head as the booze starts to burn a hole in his belly. And he remembers that he skipped dinner in his rush to get over there. He remembers that he passed up his meal because he was so excited to give her his gift. Now he feels even more of a fool. And a nagging suspicion that somehow the guy with the rabbit fur, expensive perfume, would have probably won her heart in the long run. Vowing never to get involved again, feeling the bitterness that comes with betrayal. The anger wells up and he pitches that bottle of Jack Black into the wall. Takes down the Christmas tree. And falls asleep with tears streaking his gritty face, thinking of what might have been but what is not, thinking of shared joy but is now solo sorrow. A Christmas day spent in anguish. A Christmas day spent in agony. Instead of torn paper, we have a tormented soul. A man
broken. Broken! Why? Why was he broken? Because it is! Because it is! Because he followed it blindly! Because he followed where it led! I mean, when that bad boy spoke to him, when that bad boy said, he said, yes, sir, sure, I'll be there. I'll go over there, sure, no problem. Sure, I'll buy the waffle iron.
But now, what has he got left? What do you think, huh?
Huh?
Yeah, one good thing out of the whole thing, at least he can open that waffle iron and have breakfast.
That's true. That's true. And then afterwards, hey.
Everybody together now. Drop down, do it with you, Butter King. All right, and I'm up to three balls. That's nice, and ooh, that's sweet, and ooh, that's good, that's good. Ooh, that's nice, and ooh, that's sweet, and ooh, that's good, that's good. Knuckles, McGee, make two fists and on the side. Two fists, just run your knuckle. Yes, the Knuckles, McGee, you'll shout with glee, and it's oh so good, and it's so nice. And kneading the dough, sometimes known as the baker. Oh, I'd like your kneading dough. Yeah, that's ooh, that's good. Yeah, ooh, that's nice, and ooh, that's sweet, and ooh, that's good. Yeah, peeling corn. Yeah, like you're taking a husk of a corn, you're skinning back.